Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, and these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will not be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening. No benediction this evening. Tomorrow, Monday, the Mass will be at 8:30 a.m., followed by the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. Remember to keep your voices low before Mass, during the confessions, and after Mass during confessions, and during the blessings at the communion rail. Please keep the two reserved pews on the gospel side in the back of the chapel free for parents with small children. Big feasts this week, like today, for instance, is the feast of St. Lawrence of Brindisi. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Mary Magdalene. Tuesday, St. Apollinaris and commemoration of St. Laborius. Wednesday is the feast of St. Christina. Thursday, St. James, St. Christopher. Big feasts. Friday is the feast of St. Anne. On Saturday is a commemoration of St. Pantaleon. We have spoken to you in the past more than once about St. Pantaleon, whose blood also liquefies. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Brethren, all we who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death. For we were buried with him by means of baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ has arisen from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be so in the likeness of his resurrection also. For we know that our old self has been crucified with him in order that the body of sin may be destroyed, that we may no longer be slaves of sin. For he who is dead is acquitted of sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live together with Christ. For we know that Christ, having risen from the dead, dies now no more. Death shall no longer have dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives unto God. Thus do you consider yourselves also as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, when there was a great crowd, the Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 1 to 9. At that time, when there was a great crowd with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples together and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their homes, fasting, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from a distance. And his disciples answered him, "How will anyone be able to satisfy these with bread here in a desert?" He asked them, "How many loaves have you?" And they said, "Seven." And he bade the crowd recline on the ground. Then taking the seven loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they set them before the crowd, and they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and ordered them to be distributed. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up what was left of the fragments, seven baskets. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he dismissed them. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have mentioned to you in the past that it is a very common and important practice for all good Catholics to go on retreats. So, there are even houses and even religious orders for this purpose. So you have something like a monastery, almost like a hotel, where they have accommodations for people such as yourselves. So people, lay people, come there and they live there for a few days or even a few weeks, usually about a week. And they pray. They practice all different kinds of prayer, primarily mental prayer. And they do spiritual reading, and they hear sermons, and they hear conferences, and they attend Mass and receive Holy Communion and go to confession. And they spend time alone so that they can be fervent in their prayers and be detached from the world. But we do not have accommodations for this, and so we cannot offer this to you. But we recommend something that is like it. We have told you that we recommend for you that you make your own retreat. This is not the same thing as a vacation. We know that some people take vacations. That's good. This is not a vacation. This is a retreat. And you can do this if you try. You take a week off from work, let's say, and you spend time alone. You can come to Mass every day, and you can even stay after Mass. We won't kick you out. You can pray. You can do spiritual reading. You can have a big stack of books for all of your spiritual reading, which can take the place of the sermons and the conferences. And you can pray. You can even practice mental prayer, can't you? And you can take walks. And you can, also an important part of a retreat is you have to eat and you have to rest. And you can do this. Better still, we have told you that you, instead of taking a week off from work, if you'd prefer not to do that, we think this is even better. And that is that you take something like the first Friday off every month. And in the past, of course, we always would have conferences on the first Fridays, and maybe someday we'll start that again. Hopefully we will. But you can still do the same thing. You can spend the day in prayer and meditation, spiritual reading. Come to Mass, stay after, say the rosary with everyone. Or if you don't want to do it on the first Friday of the month, you can do it on the first Saturday. You could even do it on a Sunday, because we know that for most people, they use their Sunday, which is understandable, as a day of rest. And that's understandable, but instead of just resting, you could make it a holy day. And if you have a family, you can take turns. Instead of doing it 12 times a year, you can do it 6 times. And your spouse can take care of all of the rest of the family. And if you think this is superfluous and not necessary for you, think again. This has always been practiced. This is necessary for all of you. This has been going on for thousands, and we mean that, for thousands of years. In the Old Testament, those people did not have what we have, but they had retreats. So think about this. These people in the Old Testament would take 3 weeks, not 3 in a row, 3 separate weeks, big feasts, a whole week. This was Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of the Dedication, which is Hanukkah for the Jews. These are 3 separate weeks, and they would spend the entire week, and this was called a feast. The whole week was spent in prayer, just like we described for you. And a lot of it was spent in the temple. Whole week, 3 of them in a year, and this is in addition to their Sabbath. 3 times in the year, in addition to those 3, they had to spend in Jerusalem. You know what that meant? That meant walking to Jerusalem. Now, from Nazareth to Jerusalem was a 4 or 5 or 6 day, depending on how fast you could walk, because you know you can't walk like someone who's very young and can walk a long ways. We can't all do that, can we? So this was at least a 4 day walk for most of us, maybe 5 or 6 for some. One way. We'd celebrate the feast for this particular, let's say, Pentecost, because that was in the Old Testament also. Five days to Jerusalem, 5 days home, back to where you came from. This was for those who lived in Nazareth. Some people lived farther. These were their retreats. That's the Old Testament. Look at today's gospel. This was in the desert. Now, you and I always think of the desert as the Sahara, but that's not what was meant here in the gospel by the desert. It was a desert similar to the Great Western Desert. That's where we live here. This was called the Great Western Desert because there were no trees here when we came to this land. And so when they came to wherever the edge of the forest was, Missouri or wherever, they looked out across 1,000 miles and they called that the Great Western Desert. That's this one. So it was like this. But here in this desert, they had mountains. They just didn't have very much water, and so they called it a desert. They had mountains, they had grass over much of it. Flowers. You see, in one of the talks that our Lord gave, he referred to the flowers that they could see in the fields. He said grass, and you see here they had them lie down in the grass. Groups of 50, it says, or in this or the other miracle in the desert with the multiplication, and more people there. In this one, there were 4,000. That's not 4,000 people, that's 4,000 men. So it would probably be between 5 and 10,000 people in the desert, women and children and men, 3 days. 3 days in the desert without much water. Without enough food. That's a retreat. These people were on retreat. Our Lord and Savior was the retreat master. He worked miracles while they were together. He preached to them. And they had the symbol of the Holy Eucharist for everyone before they went home. Great retreat. So you see, this was a symbol of the Holy Eucharist. This gospel and others like it throughout the year, you and I are given to remind us of the importance of our sacraments. Sacrament of penance back there, very important. Some people don't like that sacrament, and so they almost never go to that sacrament, even though it's one of our greatest gifts from God. It's the sacrament of baptism, in which we are given life. But more importantly, we have the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, which we are reminded of often, because without it, we would all be dead, and we mean not humanly dead, but divinely dead. This is our life. It's our lifeblood. We have mentioned many times to you that because there are over 7 billion people in the world, most people don't have what we have. They don't have the faith. And we have told you that those people can be saved. They are given the opportunity, we believe, before their death, to embrace the truth. But we do not want to talk about them today, those other 6 billion or so people besides us. We just want to talk about Catholics, because we're different from they are, from their path. Our path is the sacraments. If we don't receive the sacraments, we won't be saved. This is what God gave us. We are the chosen people, and he gave us gifts. We are called in sacred scripture the saints, partially because we are supposed to be like the saints. That's you and me, saints. we are given this gift of God, God Himself. He is here with us. But we, because we are so accustomed to it, we are nonchalant. Come through those doors, and it doesn't mean a great deal to us. We genuflect without thinking very much that we are in the presence of God. Not a God, not one of the gods. This is the only God. He's here. He's not just here like He is here in the universe. He's here in His body, blood, soul, and divinity. It's right here. We're planning on receiving Him. But we are nonchalant. Often we bring non-believers through those doors, which we just did just a few days ago. Protestant minister and his wife who biked into our driveway. And when they walked through the doors, they are in awe. We don't know what will happen to those two, but they thought this was an overused word, awesome. And we receive our God in Holy Communion. It doesn't have much of an effect on us, does it? Even though we are, when we receive Him in Holy Communion, we are one with Him. His blood is ours, in a manner of speaking. His life is ours. This is the proof. The Holy Eucharist is the proof of what we have told you often. Remember, brethren, that He has given His life for us because of His desire for our love. For about the last five, we don't know exactly how long it's been since Adam and Eve were created. For about the last 5 to 10,000 years, the non-believers have invented millions of gods, all kinds of gods. Not one of them ever came close to ours. Especially in this one aspect, just this one, which is the only one that counts. He loves us more than we could ever imagine. His creatures. None of those gods that they invented, they could not imagine a God doing that. Completely beyond them. But that's what ours does. And then He joins Himself with us, hopefully for eternity. We are joined with our God. We are one with Him. You know that the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, when we have it, this is eternal. We are, as our sign says, this is heaven right here. No, we're not exaggerating. is no exaggeration. We are in heaven because the holy sacrifice, the Mass, that we see every day is eternal. God the Son offers himself to his Father for eternity. He offers his death. We see an eternal sacrifice. Doesn't make a lot of difference to us, but that's what we're here for. And this is the proof. We haven't told you what it's the proof of yet. It's the proof of what we have told you so often, and that is that we are expected to be holy. You and me, expected to be holy. This is the Eucharist. Doesn't make any sense that God would come to us and be one with us, and then we would just walk away, and we wouldn't be changed by that? That we would not be made holy? That we would continue to walk out of those doors and continue to sleep? And that we would live our lives like that? What is this epistle all about? We know that we read these every year. It was all about death, being united with our Lord. This whole epistle, being united with Christ crucified. And that we will be, because we are united with him in his death, St. Paul is talking about baptism, because they would go into the water, down, as if they were dead, and then they would rise up out of the water in newness of life and be united with him in his resurrection, and that we would have his life, newness of life. What's this all about? It sounds like heaven. That's not heaven. That's now. That's what St. Paul is talking about. Dead to sin. How can you possibly be dead to sin? How's that possible? Holiness. The saints were dead to sin. And he's talking about this for you. St. Paul is talking to you. We do not appreciate, brethren, that this is St. Paul is, like all of the saints, but especially St. Paul, is like our Blessed Mother in a very real way. He is present. Is our Blessed Mother, does she not watch over all of you? Don't you think she does? Especially when you pray to her. And she's here now, especially since this is a blessed statue of hers. She's here. And the saints are like that. Your patron saint, your guardian angels, of course, are with you, aren't they? And your patron saint is watching over you. And of all of the saints, St. Paul, who is present to us so often in his epistles, he's here. He's saying these words. And when he wrote them, do you not think he was thinking of you? It was the Holy Ghost who inspired him to say these things. He was thinking of all of you. We have very little doubt about that. So St. Paul is saying to you, you are dead to sin. You are expected to be holy. We do not exaggerate. You must pray, brethren, when you receive the Holy Eucharist. If it does not make you into a saint, into a holy person, even if you're not a great saint, if it does not make you holy, and so that you are dead to sin, if it doesn't do that immediately, which it has done so many times in history, like Saint Imelda, who received the Blessed Sacrament and was taken to heaven immediately. That has happened so many times. We wish we could tell you some of them. That this has happened so many times, it is phenomenal that the person, an ordinary person like yourselves, has become holy by receiving with great fervor and desire to be with God, has received holiness. Blessed Herman was a priest. And when he said Mass, he lived many centuries ago, when he said Mass, he would spend hours totally still. No movement whatsoever. He was in ecstasy. The people complained about it. The nuns complained. These nuns, of course, would never complain. But his nuns complained. His Mass took too long, hours on end. Not a single movement. His eyes fixed. The lay people complained that he was burning up the candles until somebody proved that the candles never went down when he was in ecstasy. Saint Ignatius would spend days in ecstasy. Not like Blessed Herman. Not perfectly still. It was working. Now these are both blessed saints. But we can give you examples of lay people, because we know that some of you are thinking it's good for him to think that he can be holy up there in his ivory tower. But we have lives to live. We have work to do out here. How can we be holy? How can we pray and be in ecstasy? We know for sure some are thinking along those lines. And that's very sad if you're thinking like that. Very sad. You think the Eucharist is not for you? Because that's what, remember, that's a demand. It's a promise on the part of Christ that he will take you to heaven. You think that happens just because you come to Mass? Think holiness is not necessary? Just because you're lay people? Don't make that mistake, brethren. Don't do that. This is a very sad story for me. Because we just, a few years back, visited Ireland. And we visited some of the saints there, the tombs of the saints. And we were not aware, because we had forgotten, about little Nellie of Holy God. And we are very sorry about that, because we went and visited Waterford, and we even bought some some stemware in Waterford, and we use it on our table. Waterford stemware, and we were ignorant, because in Waterford is the preserved, miraculously preserved body of little Nellie of Holy God. And we could have, we don't know if she's visible. We could have visited little Nellie. Now we see some children who were older than little Nellie. She was the inspiration for Pope St. Pius X. He heard the story of little Nellie of Holy God, and he said words to this effect, "That's it." She was his inspiration. She was given permission to receive Holy Communion when she was 4 years old, because of her suffering and her prayers. She would spend the entire day in prayer, in her sick bed, in her suffering, prayed all day long, little Nellie, and she called him Holy God. Nobody knows where she got those words, but Holy God would speak to her. And so, if this little girl who began her holiness when she was 2 or 3 years old, hard as that may be to believe, if this little girl can be holy, you don't think you can do this? What a little tiny girl can do? And lastly, in case you're thinking that was just a special gift to her, of course, we don't have to remind you of all the sinners, St. Augustine, St. Mary Magdalene, great sinners that became holy, some of the holiest people in heaven. And we don't think you're as great sinners as they were, so you can do it. We just tell you one more story, and then we have something else to say. Quickly. We just tell you one more story quickly. Maria von Merle. She lived in the 1800s. Her mother died when she was a young woman. She was a teenager. Her mother died. And they had a huge family. So her job was to take care of her family. All of these children, these little children, all of these people. It is believed that her father beat her. But that's not to the point. The point is, she was holy. She suffered, and she was holy. We mentioned to you that Blessed Herman was in ecstasy for hours. Saint Ignatius and other saints were in ecstasy for days, weeks. Some of the saints, I'll tell you about them some other time, were in ecstasy for years. This is Maria von Merle. Did she have more to do in her life than you, taking care of a big family? She was in ecstasy for 30-some years, and she was busier than you are. Don't think for a minute that you have any excuses, brethren. Don't ever make that mistake. Huge mistake. We congratulate you on this great bravery that you have shown, and your great desire to be with God and to have God, and now you have Him. In a short time, you will receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And then he will stay with you if you are good. Not necessarily in his body, blood, and soul will he stay with you, but he has, with many of the saints, remained with them, inside them, entirely in the Holy Eucharist until their next communion, as he did with his Blessed Mother. So he may not stay with you like that, but he will stay with you. And so you must pray always. Never stop praying. You can be like these saints. You can pray always. And if you do, you will bring many other people to heaven with you. You won't go there by yourself, because your prayers will help them and it will bring them to heaven. Because we believe God hears us, and we believe he answers us, that he grants our petitions. We believe that. We know it. And you will bring many people with you, not only by your prayers, but by your example. There have been many people who, but just by their example, saved so many souls, and who believe that is what you will be able to do, because you will receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament today, and he will stay with you. May God bless you.